Y'all want to hold your hands up, we'll get you a new paper, Ephesians chapter 2. We'll finish up chapter 2 and look at chapter 3 tonight, maybe. And I have been excited today. I have been studying and looking and reading in Ephesians, and I have got more out of Ephesians chapter 3 today than I have in all the preparation studying for this already. I've enjoyed myself with the Word of God today. So I want you all to know that you can enjoy yourself with the Word. All right. Your paper that we're going to be looking at tonight will be the backside of the Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at the last couple of verses there in Ephesians 2, and then we'll get right on into chapter 3, okay? Well, the new paper will finish up verses 19 in chapter 2. So, everybody follow me? Talk to me if you're all right. All right. Anybody got a word? You have to stay. All right. Let's pray together. Father, I come just now, and Lord, you are most wonderful. And how I love the song we just sang. One day, in front of Mount Pisgah's lofty heights, I'll view my home, take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise. Lord, I can't wait. Seize the everlasting prize. I'll shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. I look forward to seeing you. Now, Lord, it may be today, it may be 50 years. Who knows? I don't know what's on your plan, but I know this. I will get to see you face to face. For I shall see you as you are. And I shall be like you someday. Lord, help me, cleanse me. Help me to preach the way you want me to preach and teach tonight. Lord, I pray the Word of God will be alive in these people's minds and hearts. Lord, if we can see our position in you. Oh, if we could get a handle on this, the world will slip away. Lord, if we could get a handle on this, the burdens will roll away. There won't be no sorrow. They won't be the things that callous down if we can get a handle on where you've put us when you saved us. Father, you're most wonderful. Again, grant me power as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start at verse 14. I start reading at verse 14 in Ephesians chapter 2. Okay? Is everybody with me? Ephesians chapter 2, start at verse 14. For he is our peace. Now this is speaking of Christ. For he is our peace. That's funny, Steve. That's what we were just talking about a while ago. For he is our peace. Now look what he has done. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to making himself of twain one new man. So making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. All right? So, let's look at that tonight, then we'll go on to chapter 3. Now, can get back to where we were there in the middle of that paper, your old paper of chapter 2 there, should say Ephesians 2, 11 through 18. Christ has but one body. And I want to hammer this, one, because there is false doctrine that wants to make the believer a Jew, and I am not a Jew, neither are you. And we'll never be Jews, and nor do we have Jewish promises. because the Jewish promises are earthly promises, and that don't apply to us. Okay? So, Christ, dying on Calvary, by Him dying on Calvary for every man, then it broke down the partition that was between the Gentile and the Jew. Verse 14 says, "For He is our peace." Now, the reason we even look at that at peace, because the Gentiles were in enmity with God because they were heathen. They were idol worshippers. All right? The Jewish people, they was not peace because they didn't receive Christ. He came into his own received him not. And to many received him, to them gave he power of God. So there was conflict either on both sides. But the cross, by Christ on the cross, took care of that and made peace for everyone, to the Jew as well as the Greek. Okay, everybody had peace, and He is our peace. Now it says, "For who hath made both one?" Now that's Gentile and Jew. He made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now that middle wall, to be a follower, you had to become a Jew or be circumcised. That's what we looked at last week, and go the Jewish way to move in with one of the tribes, to be a stranger and a foreigner. You had a certain part of inheritance, but you didn't have the full inheritance. All right? Everybody understand? But now, you couldn't come all the way into the tabernacle, the temple, the holy place, none of that. You weren't allowed. There was a partition, about a 5-foot wall thereabout, 4.5-5-foot wall. It was from the court of Gentiles into the other place where the Jews would freely go. You were allowed to look over. You could see, but you couldn't fully participate. It wasn't, even though it was for everybody, man made some separations, but God made a separation. Now listen carefully. He called him out of people, the Jew, with Abraham. He made a law through Moses to make a pure people for separation that could be identified with following God. That's what the law was really for. Everybody understand? Had never had no saving power, never had nothing like that at all. Never did. Never did have a saving power. It was for purity of the flesh. It was to set apart a people for God. Alright? Is everybody still following? Now, to come to God, then you had to come the Jewish way. Because the Gentiles were considered heathen. They was considered idol worshippers. So they had to come the same way. So, after the cross, they wasn't no, you do this, you do that, you come to Christ. Alright? And he broke down that middle law of partition that was between us. Now look in verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, he fulfilled the law. He was perfect. He kept the law. He satisfied God and all God's laws. He was perfect in every way because he was God, but he satisfied God with his death on the cross and the shed blood. Are everybody still with me? Talk to me. And it says, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. All right? It was ordinances, ceremonial, the dietary laws that the Jews kept and the ceremonial laws. Well, the Gentiles didn't keep them, so they was considered filthy. Gentiles eat hogs. Jews didn't eat hogs, just for an example. So it was identifying. Everybody understand that? Well, for the Gentile then to come, they had to take all, they couldn't do that no more. They had to separate themselves, come the Jewish way. But now, it says, having abolished in his flesh, all this is by Christ, what Christ has done. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make, look where it's at, for to make where? Where at? In himself. It's in Christ. We cannot never get by the fact that everything is in Christ. In Christ alone, my hope is found. All right? Nothing in. Now, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now, there is not going to be no Gentile or Jew anymore. All right? We're looking at some scripture here in just a moment to back all that up. Now, let's look at verse 17 or verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God, whereat? In what kind of body? In one body. How? By the cross. Alright? See, it's all because of Christ. Having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off. The gospel is the gospel of peace. It's good tidings. It's good news. Alright? And it was given to the Gentile. Preached to the Gentile. Preached to me and you. And to them that were nigh. For through him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile alike, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. For there's not but one Holy Spirit. Now, the scripture that we read many times that says, try the Spirit to see which one is of God. There's many spirits in the world, but there's only one Spirit of God. And that's God. God is the Spirit, and worship Him in spirit and truth, and there is but one truthful Spirit. There is not but one truth. There's not truths.
Right.
There's one truth.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's not many truths to believe. There's one, and that's Christ. Everybody understand that? So everything is in Christ. Now, the reason that's so important is because I'm in Christ. And all these things that are in Christ and what Christ has done, I am in Him. Now, we've looked at how saved we were, or lost we was, now how saved we are. And we've got to understand our position. If I understand my position, that's why cancer don't bother me. Are you listening to me? That's why heart attacks don't bother me. That's why strokes don't bother me. Because my position is in Christ.
Right.
I'm safe in Christ. This flesh means nothing. This flesh is temporal. A healthy person is temporal. If you have no ailments, no sorrows, no trials, no burdens, you're going to die. Everybody hear me? If everything, every day is perfect, you never have an upset stomach, you never belch, you never have viruses, you never have the flu, you never have pneumonia, you never have no diseases, you never have none of that. That everything you touch turns to gold, you're going to die. Are you hearing me? Does that bother you? Does that bother you? If it bothers you, it's because you don't understand where you're at positionally in Christ. I am already there. Why would I worry about stabbing my toe here? Huh? If I'm already there. Are you understanding? Now, all that was done by what Christ done on the cross. Let's look here at a couple of scriptures here and see. Now, I want you to understand that every believer is part of the same body of Christ. Every believer. Now, you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, that what you believe is not truth. It's what God said. What you believe is not truth. What God says, what God's Word says, that's truth. Everybody understand? So, it ain't the Baptists. We're not Baptist briders. We're not going to heaven because we're Baptists. Because I know a lot of Baptists that ain't going. Unless something changes. Right? Because that's all they are, is a church member, and they're going to go to hell because they've never received Christ. Okay? It ain't a Methodist bunch or a Church of God bunch or a Holiness bunch. No. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, have received Christ, then you are part of one body. And that cannot be hammered on enough, because that'll stop the prejudices, and that'll stop the big eyes and little U's and the self-righteousness. When everybody is part of the same body, and if we find any pride in that, we're going to have to say, well, I'm the nose and you're just the hair in my ear. I mean, we'd have to get really cynical to be prideful with that. We're all one body. Everybody understand that? And I think some are a hemorrhoid. But we're still part of the body. All right? I just want you to know, well, I said feeble parts and uncomely parts. I'm just telling you that it's one body. Does everybody understand that? And I'm trying to be funny. I'm just wanting to show you. There's no pride in any of us. They can't be. It's Christ. I mean, Christ. And it's Christ is the body. He's the head of the body. Are we still okay? Now, every believer is part of the same body. And every believer has access through Christ Jesus by the same Spirit that is in every believer. The same Holy Ghost that moved inside of me lives inside of you if you receive Christ. And as much of Him, I've got as much of Him as there is because He's a person. And I got all of Him. And if you receive Christ, you got all of Him. You ain't going to get more of Him. You ain't going to pray and receive more of Him. You ain't going to have nobody lay hands on you and get more of you. You receive a person. A person moves in. Christ in you, hope of glory, the Spirit of God. And you have access to the Father as open as Christ has. Now you tell me, how open of access does Christ have to the Father? But He's my head and I'm His body. I have the same access. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
That's why prayer is a privilege.
Amen.
You understand? We make it work because we got to fight the flesh.
Yeah.
But our spirit should be able to talk to the Father because we have access freely by Christ.
Yeah.
We make things hard because we are determined to do it our way. And we won't live in the Spirit. We want to live in the flesh. But we want the Spirit's blessings. Amen, preacher. Now let's go on. Look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Is everybody with me? Everybody understand me? Look at Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 6. It said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, it don't mean I'm a Jew. It means I'm getting in the same way Abraham did. All right? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify who? Are you with me in Scripture? We're on Galatians 3, verse 8. And the Scripture for saying that God will justify the heathen. How are they going to justify the heathen? Same way He did the Jew, through faith. Preach before, look what that says. Preach before the what? The gospel unto Abraham. The gospel ain't never changed. Are y'all listening to me? The good news has never changed. It's always been the same way. Before there was a world, the gospel was the same. Huh? And the gospel preached to Abraham is the same thing preached to me, huh? Back in May of 1973 when I got saved. The same gospel. Huh? But it's Christ, in Christ. Are y'all hearing me? Saying that these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Is anybody getting this?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 4. Let's look at verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Can I tell you, it's not, but what we do is faith in Christ. It's faith in Christ. Are we still okay? Now, listen to me. My covenant is not with Abraham. Abraham had covenant. I am not under an Abrahamic... say it. I can't say it. Say it again. My tongue got all over my mouth trying to say it. Abrahamic covenant. All right. Huh? Anyway, but my covenant is with Christ and His blood. Everybody understand that? I don't have to go the way of the Jew. I go by the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. Are we still okay? Now, listen to me. This one new man, in verse 15, is speaking of the church, which is composed of all believers. It's Jews and Gentiles, one body, one new man. All of this is Jew and Gentile alike. All right? Now, like I wrote on your paper there, a good comparison, and I wanted you to see this, a good comparison is Noah and the flood. All right? The flood destroyed every person on earth. Yes or no? All but the eight is in a ark. It destroyed everybody. So it didn't matter where they was from. Didn't matter what they done. Didn't matter anything. It didn't matter. Right? And there was only one way of escape. What was that? The ark. Everybody else perished. Everybody understand that? Is that changed today? It's not changed today. Everybody's going to perish. And the only way is the ark, which is Christ. Right? Now, let's get inside the ark. Was Noah saved more than Miss Noah? Was Noah saved more than Japheth? Was Ham saved more? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. No, they were all saved equally, weren't they? Did they all get through? Where was they all at? In the same ark. But wasn't Noah a different man? Well, wasn't Miss Noah a different lady? Shem, Ham, and Japheth were all different people. So the salvation was equal. They were equal in the ark. There was one ark, and everybody that was saved was equal in the ark, saved from the same thing. Everybody follow me? It's the same way with us. You're saved, you're equal in the body. There's nobody more saved than the other. Huh? And there's nobody outside of Christ more lost than the other. Because from the highest mountain to the lowest valley, everybody was in and perished. So there was no big eyes or little ewes outside, and there's no big eyes or little ewes inside. And can I tell you, it's the same way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. There's no big eyes or little ewes outside. They're all wicked. They're all lost. All of them. If they're not in Christ, they're all wicked and lost. All of them. They're not good people. They're all wicked and lost. Just like we were. We have a hard time because of our morality. And somebody that's moral, they may be moral on the outside, but what they do on the inside, it can be awful. Listen, those that's unsaved are wicked. And those that are saved all equally. Does anybody other than Teddy believe that? We're all equal. You're not no better than I am. I ain't no better than you are. I ain't saved more than you're saved. You ain't saved more than I'm saved. That's why this middle wall had to be tore down. All right? Does everybody follow me? Talk to me. You understand it. Let's keep looking. All right? Everybody in the ark received the same mercy. They received the same grace. They received the same provisions. They received the same salvation. We all received the same thing. Now, whether we use the provisions or not, well, that's another story. Whether we appreciate them, that's another story. But as far as they've been provided, handed to us, then that's all the same. Does everybody understand that? Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians. Is everybody still with me? Now, the reason that I'm saying this is because of the body of Christ. There's so much turmoil in the body of Christ, not just here, but worldwide. Can I tell you that the American part of the body of Christ has trouble with the Japanese part. And has trouble with the Korean part.
and has trouble with the Vietnamese part, and has trouble with the Burmese part, has trouble with the African part. Now, we say we don't, but when it comes down to it, we're as prejudiced as we can be on color and race.
Yep.
We are. And we think we're right because we're American. No, we're wrong. Being prejudiced is ungodly. That's why Christ tore down the wall of partition. Everybody okay? You still hanging with me now? But then we're not only prejudiced toward nationalities. You know, we're prejudiced toward Russians. What about all them Christians in Iran? You say, well, are they any? Well, yeah, they are. Those boys over preaching the gospel. They're getting killed for it. How about Syria? Let me tell you something. There's a missionary that comes down there to Florida where Marcus used to work at down there. It was a sister pastor down in Orlando, Tabernacle, down there where Steve Ware's at. There's a missionary that comes in there that he has been tortured so much. He's a Syrian, and he's a preacher, and he's a missionary to his own people, and he's been tortured so much it's a wonder he can even move for preaching the gospel. And there's people saved all the time in Syria. But you don't hear none of that because we don't care whether any of them people are saved or not. Because of the prejudice that's rooted up in us. That's why it's so important that we know this, that there's only one body. And don't forget that Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't a white, blue-eyed American. He didn't have blonde hair like the picture shows. Okay? Everybody understand that? And you say, why do you hammer on that? Because that prejudice then comes into a local body.
Yeah.
And there ain't no, supposed to be no schism
right.
in the body. That's what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody still good with me? Let's start. Well, we just read one verse. There's no reading all of it. You know it. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12. We'll read 12 and 13. For as the body is what?
One.
And hath many members. And all the members of that
one.
Body, being many, are
one.
Body, so also is Christ. For by
one.
Spirit are we all baptized into
one.
Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but one body, many members. Everybody okay? All right. Back to Galatians. Look at verse 28. Chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, look at it. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female when it comes to being saved. For ye are all what? Where at? In Christ Jesus. Everybody understand that? There's just one. Back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's look at verse 4. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body, whereat? And every one members one of another. Oh, wow. We're bodies one of another? I mean, we're attached. You know, we'd be attached twice. You know? You're my sister niece. Cheryl's my sister wife. Huh? Mooney's my sister sister. Okay? All right? That Molly? I can't see from here. Molly would be my sister great niece. So we're double kin. Huh? But really not. We're just sister brother. I'm no more kin to Cheryl than I am Teddy. I'm no more kin to Teddy than I am Rose. We're sister brother. We're part of one another. We're in one body. and we're equal in when it comes to salvation. Now, that is why it's so important that we know this. All right? It's so important. All right? Is everybody still with me? Now, look at your new paper. All right? Look at your new paper. Well, I better hit verse 18 there. For through him we both have access to the one Spirit and to the Father. So we all have the same access. I have free access to the Lord. Now let's look at verse 19. Now it says, now. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. All right? Now what I want you to make sure you understand, there's one household. It says, therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household, not of a household of God, but of the household of God. It does prove to have a every word Bible. I've tried to be very careful as I read it. I don't want to misread it. I want to make sure I say all the words because every word's important. And this definite article as the household of God shows me that I'm not a stranger. That's what I was. Gentiles were strangers. We were foreigners. But now I'm a fellow citizen. Okay? I'm with a fellow citizen with the saints. All right? And I'm of the same household of God. One family, one church. And this is vital because of those who teach falsely that the church has Jewish promises. And there is no replacement theory that we replace the Jews and all of that. All of that's foolishness. Okay? For after the resurrection, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Everybody understand that? Are you sure you understand it? Now look at verse 30. Or verse 20, rather. Verse 20. It says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, we're built upon one foundation. We only have one foundation. There's only one foundation. Now, it ain't a foundation of the apostles and prophets and another foundation of Christ. It is one foundation. Christ is the cornerstone or the main stone of the whole foundation. And what is built upon with the prophets and the apostles, you could not be an apostle unless you had saw with your own eyes the resurrected Christ. So we have the body being formed, the church being formed after the resurrection. Could not be before the resurrection, had to be after the resurrection. And it's built upon the gospel of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. Yeah. Everybody understand that? He's the most important binding stone. All right? Now, the foundation is not the apostles. Now, there are those who say today they are apostles. They are all liars. Because you have to see the resurrected Christ. And Christ does not appear. Everybody listen carefully. No one else has seen the resurrected Christ since he ascended unto heaven other than the Apostle Paul, John the Revelator, who was already an apostle on the Isle of Patmos, and Stephen as he was going up to glory. Everybody understand that? So anybody else that says they had a vision of seeing Jesus, no, they didn't. Are you hearing me? Just go ahead and tell you, anybody says they went to heaven and come back, didn't. And anybody says they went to hell and come back, didn't. I don't know what they were smoking, but they ain't right. It ain't Scripture. Okay, so just go ahead and make sure everybody understands that. Well, I think it don't matter. It don't matter. Remember, what you believe ain't truth. It's what God says is truth. We come in and agree with God. All right? Are we still okay? Now, we're all built upon one foundation, Christ the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, the most important binding stone.
is Christ. The foundation is not the apostles and prophets themselves, but their teaching, which all their teaching was about the resurrection. That was their message, that Christ died and was resurrected. That was their message. That was Peter's message. That was Paul's message. That was John's. That was all the disciples' message. That was their message, that Christ had rose again. Why? Because that's the good news. Okay? Are we still okay? Let's look at Isaiah 26, or 28, verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Are y'all okay with this? Are y'all understanding me? Isaiah 28. Let's look at verse 16. We're talking about that cornerstone being Christ, that foundation. Look here, it says, Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. We're talking about a cornerstone, Christ. That's what we're talking about. Look over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, what's it say? He is precious. Huh? We're talking about Christ. Christ is the foundation of the church. He's the foundation of the body. He's the head of the body. But he's the whole working of the body of Christ. And that's what Paul was telling the church of Ephesus, that our position is in Christ in the body, which we are the church. Not the local. This is just a building where this part of the body assemble and fellowship and worship together. All right? This is a church building, we call it. But the Bible speaks of us being the church, the body of Christ, the pillar and ground of the truth. I think 1 Timothy 3:15 maybe will tell us that we're the pillar and ground of the truth. Is everybody still following me? It's the church of the living God that he purchased. It says over in Acts, what's Acts chapter 20? That he purchased the church with his blood. He didn't purchase the building. It's his body that he purchased with his blood. All right? The church, that new man, Jew and Gentile alike, that's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond or free, but one body in Christ. That's who he purchased. Does everybody follow me? Okay? Now, verse 21. In whom all the building... Now, Paul is writing this, and he's trying to show an analogy here, an illustration analogy. He's comparing the body. He's been speaking of a body and one new man. Now he's talking about a building. All right? That we're a building. Does not the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that this earthly house, this tabernacle will be of God. We have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. So there's more than, we're not talking about a wooden stone building. He's using that as a comparison. Does everybody follow me? Verse 21, in whom all the building, now look what it says, fitly framed how? Fitly framed together. All right? Groweth unto, wait a minute, how does the building grow? Well, you add on to the building. We can get scripture out of Acts that said, add to the church such as should be saved. Isn't that what it says in Acts chapter 2? Huh? In that little section there, 41 through 48 there, somewhere through there. Are we okay? Tell me if you're following me. All right. So we're fitly framed together. Fitly framed. That means we're put in there just like inside them walls. You know, you can't see everything that goes on. Do y'all know what's in them walls? Everybody don't know what's in them all. You know? But they're behind that drywall. They studs. You don't know where they're at till you go over and measure off. And then there's nails and there's screws. And then there's insulation. Huh?
And then on the floor joists, we got floor joists. Some of them are closer together than others. On this side of the church, they're a foot on center. On this side of the church, they're 16 inches on center. Huh? You know that? There's a beam that goes right down the middle. Y'all see a big beam downstairs in a fellowship hall? You know, that's right here under me. Huh? Huh? It's a wider span on one side than it is the other, so we had to be closer. But you don't see all that. You don't see the wiring that's running through the ceiling, running through the walls, running through the plug. Huh? Because everything is fitly framed together. Huh? Think about that. See, under me, we had trusses built, ready-made, built, and come in. Huh? It's not your normal stuff, but you don't see none of that. There's insulation and rafters up here, wooden rafters, ceiling joists. And then below that, that's just drop ceiling. And little wires that hold all them stripes you see. There's little wires every so many feet that hold them metal strips up everywhere you go. But you don't see that. But they're fitly framed together. And you don't see everything across the world. And you don't see everything across the country. But every believer is fitly framed together just like this building. Every screw and nail and screw that's in the ceiling and roof and all that comes together. And then it assembles into one building. And we're assembled into one body. But we're fitly framed. Everything in its place. Huh? Are we still okay? And then it groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We all together come together as a holy temple. Without us in here, do you know this building is vacant and dead? And God does not dwell in this building if there's no believer here. Now, it is dedicated and set apart and sanctified for the work of God. But God is not in this building if there's no believers here. Because He lives in you. It's Christ in you, hope of glory. And when we come in together, we're all coming in together with Christ. And we're supposed to be able to fellowship my left hand with my right hand. And I can clap and embrace and fellowship together because we're one body and one Christ that lives in us because we are believers in Christ. Does everybody understand that? That's what this is teaching. And if somebody comes from Burma with Bob and they're saved, they're part of us. And somewhere in the future, there'll be somebody, Samuel, will come from Kenya, and he's going to be as black as a bowling ball. And guess what? He's part of you. He's part of you. Huh? You know why? Because he's part of the body. All right? That's why this is so important that we get this. All right? Everybody still with me? Now he says, and it groweth up into a holy temple. That holy part. Let's look back and look over in chapter 4. I got a minute here. Ephesians 4. Let's look at verse 16 right quick. It says, from the whom the whole body, what's it say? Fitly what? Wait a minute. I thought we was fitly framed. We are. We're fitly framed for a purpose. Them studs and everything are in a certain place for a certain purpose. And we're fitly joined. Right. Do I understand? Yeah. That's why there's supposed to be unity in the house of God. Right. That's why there's supposed to be unity in the body of Christ. Yeah. See? And if we're not, it's not that we're not right with one another. It's because we're not right with Him. Everybody understand that? That's why it's so important. That's why all across the country. All right. So, well, I don't like Billy Graham. You know, I don't like all that. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. Why? See how we do? We pick and choose. That ain't God. Don't do that like that. We okay? Father, help us to enjoy where we're planted. Help us to enjoy where we're framed. Help us to enjoy where we're joined. Lord, help us to enjoy You. And thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.